It appears, ladies and gentlemen, that we are live.
Woo-woo!
Hello. It's a special show. I tried to change the title of the show. I had everything ready, all of it ready. But before I get to that, joining me today is, of course, my pod sister, Amanda, my pod brother, Super Kev. Oh, hey! Kevin Campbell!
There you go. Yes!
I can't do that.
Come on, Amanda. You can, PG.
No, I'm
there
not.
You go. You just
I'm just
going to
show everyone my top. Look.
Oh, aye, aye.
Trying to impress Mr. Hillier.
Oh, here he is. Is he here? He's live here. David. We're live, just to tell you.
We're live.
I don't know. He looks a bit statuesque.
He does. He looks frozen in time.
Oh, bless him.
Bless him. But I love that brick wall.
Yeah, it's very nice, isn't it? Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, moving on. So today's show title was High Wattage at the Cottage. Took me 3 minutes to come up with that one, PG.
That's brilliant.
And I tried to change it before we came on air, but I couldn't. So today's show is now changing to Oh Bamiyang Signs.
Oh Bamiyang.
Thank you to everyone who's already joining us in the chat. Let's just get stuck to it, shall we, kids? We got an hour. There might be added time on. Depends on Amanda, really, doesn't it?
I'm all over the place.
Yes.
I'm just so excited.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to get your guys' thoughts before we talk about the Fulham game, because we will, because it all has great implications. The moment is here. Finally, it's official. Aubameyang signs a new contract for the Arsenal. And I have to say, I love the video. The video was like, gave me goosebumps. I loved the video. The bit on the pitch, I thought was a bit lame, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because he signed. Amanda, tell us how you're feeling, babe.
Well, you see, the thing is, I've never put Arsenal on notification on Twitter, ever. Ever. I never have. I don't know why. I just never have. Today, I was flicking through and it said on their heading, put us on notifications if you haven't. So I did. And then all of a sudden, they notified me and probably about 74 million other gooners that they were going live. I was at work. I'm not saying any more, but I watched the whole thing. And I was like, no one's interested in my work, but I don't care. I was like, I'll be back in a minute. And I loved it. Because if you look at what he says, from the heart, the fact that he wants to be a legend for us, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, typical Essex.
Oh my God. One heartstring at a time.
Honestly, he just pulls at my heartstrings. And that laugh, I love that laugh. I have, and like Archie, I've watched it about four times. I love the video as well. I know exactly what you mean. That is goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. And I love Arsenal admin on Twitter. Not only did they say happy birthday to me, of course, months ago, but not that's irrelevant. I love their humor, their banter. Whoever's running it, I want to go and work with them. But I just think it was brilliant. And I love the fact that he did an egg timer, Pierre, on his Twitter this morning. I mean, look, we all knew, but we just didn't understand the delay of announcing. And I loved it. And I think that's a really great way to announce it. He's on his own on the pitch and he just was speaking to us. There was no way he ever wanted to leave. And I love that. He is going to become a legend. And then Ian Wright, they have like a, I don't know, like a WhatsApp FaceTime call. And we've watched all that as well. And Wrighty, I don't care what anyone says, because you know he's one of my heroes. Well, I love him. And I love that he loves Pierre. And I love that they love each other. And it's just so the Arsenal. And I will end so someone else can speak.
Okay. Before we get to Super Kev, okay. This has to be one of my favorite life comments ever. Just have a read.
If you're a good boy, James, I'll consider it.
Right. I think we finally have Mr. Hillier on too. You seem to have changed locations. You've moved from Highbury to the Emirates.
I love you, James. That is so funny.
Yeah, I've gone from I've gone to the bedroom. Actually,
oh, sorry. Hi,
sorry.
Hello.
I hope you're
from the magic room. Yeah,
where all the magic happens. Welcome to the show, Mr. David Hillier. A round of applause.
It was early.
We've got the wrong at, let you know. That was my fault. It's at Dave Hillier.
I even spelled it for her, Dave. I did.
I'm gonna move over a bit. There you go.
All right, move over a bit.
Yeah, that if is you, really bad, isn't it? At David, it looks really strange.
I know. If you sit still and just talk, that's fine. Because your voice is all right. It's just you're frozen.
Looks handsome with that little, that beard and everything. He's frozen again. Super Kev, let's go to you. So, here we go. Aubameyang signs. I think Arsenal fans are excited. 31, but I think he's a different 31. I think modern day footballers are different now in their 30s, the way they take care of their bodies. He's lean, he's fit, he's scoring goals, his goal ratio as a striker is, as you would know, is absolutely phenomenal. It's so important that this deal happened, Casey, for so many different reasons.
100%. Look, he's a top player. He's a top goal scorer. That's what he is. And if you can get players like him who can guarantee you over 20 goals a season, they are worth their weight in gold. Now, to be able to replace him, who are you going to go and get? Who are you going to get to replace him? So this is why this signing is the most important of the off-season and now the season if for this window. Get him signed up. He's signed up now. I know there was a lot of frustration because Arsenal fans wanted him to sign and it took long, etc. I mean, I was even on Sky today and I got a question from Rob Wootton. He said, you know, Aubameyang's put this timer on his social media. What does it mean? I said, well, he's going to obviously, it's just a matter of time before he signs the thing. He's going to sign the thing. And look what he does. Come the afternoon. Makes every Gooner very, very happy by signing. And look, if we're honest, I think most of the Gooners knew that he would sign, but it was just a matter of him putting pen to paper and it being announced. So well done, Aubameyang.
We've been bruised so many times, haven't we? We've seen captain after captain, legend after legend leave. And here we are in a situation where David, you know, truly feels like Arteta and Edu are changing and reinventing Arsenal's DNA and culture. They've certainly had to sit with Aubameyang, who had offers to go elsewhere and maybe be able to play Champions League football immediately, and show him a roadmap and a path and a vision. As a player, when you're signing for a club, you need to know where it's going. So what's your take, Hills, on the signing and what you think it means for the club?
Well, I personally think that Oba only had one option. I think he either goes to another club, gets all the money, gets whatever he wants in his football career, Champions League, but he don't become a legend. I think he had the opportunity to stay at Arsenal. Mikel Arteta knew that he could use him as a talisman for the rest of the players to confidence to them about keeping them at the club, you know, moving forward in the next few years, because you need someone in the side who's a constant. You need someone who's going to be, you know, there every week, the first name on the team sheet, genuinely is the motivator. And although he done a kind of laid back way, I think I think everybody respects that. But and he has his little moods, you know, all forwards do, don't they, Kev? You know, when they don't get the right pass and they don't, you know, he'll throw his hands up a little bit. But I think I think what he's got is a group of players, and he said, listen, I'm going to use your abilities, but you've got to sacrifice parts of how you want to play in that team. And to have him there as the heading it up with his goals, and that he's going to get you out of a hole. You always know he's going to pull something out of the bag for you. Then I think it's a fantastic signing. And I think it will entice other people to the club, other young players as well, other good young players.
I was saying that to Casey and Amanda this morning, that our pedigree kind of got dented over the last few years, but Arsenal's still a great club. Just that we weren't attracting the right players. We weren't keeping the right players. And Amanda, I actually, if you guys remember, maybe at the start of the beginning of last season, I had question marks about Aubameyang's leadership skills. And I think one of the things that I've been super impressed with him, not only his goal-scoring record since he's joined the club, but he's grown into a leader. I think he's seen the love that Arsenal fans have for him, and he knows he'll never get that if he goes to Juventus or Barcelona. He's the king of the Emirates right now. And I think he's taken on that leadership role. And we've seen him not only evolve as a footballer, but we've seen him evolve as a person, Amanda. Would you agree with that?
And one main reason is Mikel Arteta. He has stayed because of Mikel Arteta as well. Trust me, if Emery would have been in charge, he'd have been gone. And I'm sorry that I love Mikel Arteta since day bloody one. I've loved him. Even when we've lost, I've loved him. I feel that we're on the verge of something very exciting. We really are. And we've not had this in so many years. Probably only when Wenger came. You know, a little bit, I remember, this is a little bit of the George era when he started, a little bit of the Wenger era when he started. To me, he's a mix of both. Anyway, I couldn't be more excited at the moment. Why does Aubameyang want to stay with us? We don't have Champions League football. We probably don't pay as much as he could get at Barcelona, Madrid, wherever else he was wanted. He could walk into any team. He is exactly what we've needed. Someone to turn around and go, do you know what? I love the club. I love the fans. I love London. I want to play for Mikel. I can see something that's building here. You can see the team spirit. It's massive. And sometimes, although we've not had it often, players just want to play with their mates and they love their manager. Him and Lacazette. I mean, him and everyone, to be honest. I mean, we'll talk about Fulham in a minute. But I think there's so many factors. And the main one for me is Arteta.
Do you agree? Do you agree with PG on that? And do you think it's a case of, he shopped himself around, maybe couldn't get what he wanted? And
no.
Do you think there's any of that in there, Casey? Or do you think his mind was made up and it was literally about being the highest paid? I hope that Arsenal were paying him £350,000 plus £1. And that's how he's the highest paid player right now. But Casey, what's your take on Arteta, the Arteta factor?
I agree with most of what Princess says. For sure, PG. Make some really good points there. But one thing I want to add to that, that I think was really important, was winning the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Winning the FA Cup proved to be a factor because, look, it's all very well, you know, you love the club and all that kind of thing. But when you're a top player, you want to win things. You want to win. And that winning feeling is infectious. So winning the FA Cup the way they did and who they beat in the semi-final and the final proved something to Aubameyang. His people have to do their work and go out and speak to your Barcelonas and Real Madrids and all the teams who would cover him. You have to do that just to know how the land lies. Mm-hmm. And then, excuse me? you mean well?
I don't know if he...
Keep quiet during yours, so keep quiet during mine, please. Please. Thank you.
I told Heels that we might have extra time depending on Amanda.
This interferer here, I'm telling you. Listen, and then coming back for pre-season, winning the Community Shield and lifting more silverware, because whether we like it or not, if you lose it, it's a friendly. If you win it, it means something because that's something else you can show. He's bought into what Mikel Arteta's doing. So you're right there, PG. He believes in it. You could see the camaraderie of the team really coming together. And you know what? With the new signings that are coming in right now, Arsenal are looking okay right now. We need a couple more, I do believe, but so pleased about over-signing.
Okay, so David, let's shift into that gear a little bit, because when Josh Kroenke told everyone to be excited, he became a laughing meme and everybody had a pop at him. And the Kroenkes really have been the enemy, if you like, over the last few years. Signing Saliba, signing Gabriel, re-signing Aubameyang, getting Kieran Tierney. There is an evolution happening at the club, isn't there? Are you starting to believe that the owners are believing in Edu and Arteta and they're putting their money where their mouth is finally?
Well, I don't know the politics really, and I try not to get involved in too much of the, you know, whether it's right or wrong business. But I definitely feel that any club who wants to compete has to make two or three every season. So he's only doing what he has to do. He's not gone out there and like laid it on the line and, you know, let him have as much money as he wanted. But he's obviously seen that the man can do something. He's got the players behind him. which is the most important thing. I think Amanda just alluded to the start of the George Graham and era and the Arsene Wenger era. I would say it's more like George Graham because there are deficiencies in that side, namely probably central midfield. And I was one of those players that played with John Jensen but still won things. So, you know, you can turn, you know, you can put square pegs in square holes and do the right thing with them, but you're going to have additions around that to make the differences. And Kroenke has seen that he needs to invest in those areas on the peripherals, which will bring, you know, the success. But fundamentally, I think he believes in Arteta because Arteta's got the players behind him and they've all bought into him. They all needed a leader and there's not particularly one on the pitch, but the manager can do that. You know, the manager can lead that. And I think they're all believing in him. Like I said, they all need to make sacrifices in their own personal wants out of a game to this inside. And so we all have to do that. I'm sure Kev didn't want to have to bend his run every time Wrighty went short. You know, I bet there's a few times Kev wanted to go short and get the ball, but he just had to keep bending his run all the same to make space for Wrighty. And that's what people, I think, at Arsenal, when you watch them play now, they're looking around each other and thinking, what can I do for the man by the side of me? And once you've got that mentality at the start, I think you can go somewhere. And Kroenke realises that if you don't add a few players to that, he'll lose that as well. People won't believe in it. And Kev's right, silverware, you can get a runners-up medal goes in the kitchen drawer. I'll tell you that now. It goes in the kitchen drawer. No one sees it. You know, with all the bottle tops and all the little toys and stuff you get out of Kinder Eggs. but the winner's medal goes in a cabinet or gets locked away. So, and he gave them a winner's medal, two of them at the end of the season. So they've, you know, I think even him, and that's key.
All right. Okay, cool. So a lot of what you guys are saying plays into, and I'd love to weave this into Fulham, right? My original title, the high wattage at the cottage. It was a phenomenal start. I don't care who you're playing against. Our away form has sucked for two seasons. We have lost to teams like Fulham over and over. It's been our Achilles heel. It's really why our away form, a lot of it has to do with why we weren't able to push for that organic European spot in the Premier League, finishing eighth. Casey, I'm going to start with you here because I think we were expected to beat Fulham, but I don't think we were expecting the Gabriel to come in and play the way he did. And I think when the team sheet went out, the Arsenal Twitter sphere had a meltdown because Elneny was in midfield. He shifted things a little bit. Talk us through your fondest surprise about that game and your take on how we kind of were able to really put on a show against a promoted team that really looked like they're going to be in trouble, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised Saliba wasn't playing. You know, you look at the team sheet and you see Elneny in and you know, I want to focus on Elneny for a bit because people think that this guy's not a good player. He is a good player. And when you actually look at what he's done, yeah, he's been out and about, but that was under other people. Now that he's Mikel Arteta's got hold of him, in the Community Shield, I thought he had a really, really good game. And I'm not saying he's the best midfielder out there. But what I'm saying is he can do a job for Arsenal and he's proving he can do a job. He ain't as bad as people think. And you know what? Sometimes you need players who are the unsung heroes, as David Ilya quite rightly mentioned. Sometimes you do need players who just go about their business, don't say nothing and do the job. And that's what he done. I thought he was really good against Fulham. I thought Willian was excellent as well. Gabriel, apart from that issue in the first 2 minutes, he was awesome. He was big. He was strong. He was quick across the ground. And he used his physicality really well and popped up with a goal. But then you get the usual suspects. I thought Lacazette had a really good game up top, holding that ball up, linking play, getting the first goal of our season off. And obviously Aubameyang with that goal. We defended well. We broke well. All facets of the team looked to be together. And you know what was really impressive was our energy. Energy on attack, defence. We defended well. But as we won the ball and we got the breakdown, we really broke up Fulham. And Fulham couldn't handle us. And let's be fair, it could have been four or five, if we're honest. It could have.
Can I ask you and David, because that's why Amanda and I love having you guys on. We can kind of get deeper into the tactical side of things. Is Elneny, David, does Arteta see him as the Fernandinho role for City? How can you explain to fans? Because Elneny, we shipped him off. I mean, I wrote him off completely. And Arteta is bringing a lot of the experience. And Amanda talks about, you know, the fact that he worked with Pep and the things that he's learned. But can you explain to us a little bit what role Elneny is in terms of what Arteta saw Pep do at City in that position?
Well, I think when you play in that position, you've got to have a very willing participant. Because like I said, there's parts of the game you want to go and join in as a defensive or a holding midfield player that you simply can't. And you make a lot of short runs to open up space for people. You're always closing holes when maybe you want to go and, you know, do something else. But I think more than that, Kev's right about the energy. I think the energy comes from that area. He played 27 times last season, and that shows in his fitness and his game awareness, you know, where he should be, where the most important place in the team is for him to be, not where does he want to be. And I think that's key. And I think that's what, when players give that to Mikel Arteta, I think he responds to that. You're doing exactly what I'm telling you to do and what I want you to do. It's making you better. They can see it. You know, you can see it with Bukayo Saka. You know, he's been played in maybe a little bit of a role he didn't want, but it's made him a better player. And he believes in the manager. With Elneny, I think he just gives a nice little balance in there. Yes, he's not as creative, but he knows what job he's got to do in there. And I think Arteta is focusing on those players in those areas that are, and I don't want to disrespect the area. It's an area you can easily fill with someone who's a grafter, you know, who's like, you can have one central defender who can just head and kick a ball. You know, you don't have to do anything else, but you need a balance. He's getting away with Xhaka and Elneny in there at the moment. And he's banking on his width and, you know, that strike force, that potent strike force we've got now to get the goals. It's no different to what George Graham did. Absolutely no different. Football don't change. You know, maybe little bits do, but he's doing the best with what he's got. And I think Elneny fits into that at the moment because of what he brings to the side. He's disciplined.
It's really great man management, team management. I mean, you know, last season, Amanda, we saw him make lemonade out of some lemons. And as great as we're saying and we're talking about this smells like team spirit, I wanted to, before we go into a little bit more of that game, something that happened at the very start of that game, and I should have started with this, was Nketiah and Ceballos and their little spat. I thought Danny acted like a little bit of a prick, to be honest with you. So for all this stuff that we're talking about, do we see this, Amanda, as finally some fire in our belly and people are getting pissed off even in that moment? And I want your perspective as a fan, and then I'd love David and KC to give their point of view from a player, because I think there's more bust-ups between players that we don't hear about, and it's a little bit normal. What was your take, Amanda, when you saw that and then you saw the Danny post the picture afterwards?
I just think it's handbags. I just think it's players wound up, ready, focused, and nothing. I don't mean, I've never been a football player, so maybe Kev or Dave can answer that, but I just personally think it was nothing, just handbags at dawn.
Super Kev?
Listen, this is, it happens all the time. It happens in training. It happens in games sometimes. There's a disagreement or a differing of opinions. And that's all it is. It's nothing to worry about.
David, do you agree with them?
Yeah, I think.
You ever punch KC in training?
I didn't get involved in too much, to be fair. Although I could have knocked Perry Groves out. He did my head in. He used to take the piss out of me because I said like man and yeah and kiss my teeth a little bit. He used to call me a black man, didn't he, Kev? Do you remember?
He used to
take the piss out of me. But
you're trying to be black.
I slapped him for that, but. Yeah, I used to say all that, but I was from South London. I lived near New Cross. What do you expect? You know, that was we just all spoke the same. That's how it was. But yeah, I think there's always little arguments, but it's how quick you resolve them, and you know, and the respect that people show really quickly after to say that I accept we've got differences of opinion, And I am going to upset you sometimes when I play and not do the things you want to do, or it's not going to go the way we all want it to go. But as long as we're a team, there were players in the Arsenal team I really wouldn't want to go out and have a bit. I'll tell you that now, that, you know, because we was different characters. But on the pitch, I had their back 100%. Just look at United in that little fiasco we had. Like, there were six of us up off the bench who weren't even in the squad. So, you know, That's what it meant to us. And we was all bitter that we weren't playing that day, you know, pissed off because someone else was in the side, not you. But when it come to the team...
But that's life, isn't it, Dave? I mean, if you work in an office, you're not going to get on with everyone. Yet when it comes to actual work, you're going to have your colleagues or your managers back. That's just the way it is. You don't have to like everyone to work in a team.
Look at Sheringham and Cole. They hated each other.
Which we didn't know until later on.
I think you'd have their back if you know they've got yours. Yeah. I'm not having no one's back who ain't got mine. And if you know, even after a little argument, he's still got your back, then that's fine. You know, I remember being in a bar in Covent Garden with Tony Adams and Baldy, and someone jumped in front of me at the bar, and it happened to be a 6'7" England rugby player. And I told him that I was next, and he weren't happy. And before I knew it, Baldy and Tony were there pulling them away, saying, "I think David was next." So, you know, you do what you've got to do.
See?
Boom. I knew you were going to do that.
All right. So I love that. Love stories like that. They're the best. And I could go on and on about
those. Can we just talk about the people that really didn't want Willian to join our club?
Okay, so that's where I'm going, KG. I've got it right here. That's my next thing. Okay, so what a debut, right? It was flawless. It was like he'd been playing us for years. And then when you actually saw Chelsea play last night, I don't know if the players will agree with me, there was a little bit of Willian's style and creativity missing from that performance. KC, I'll start with you. Brilliant debut and the kind of player who's going to have a lot of energy for the season, I think.
SD, he's over the hill, remember? We should have signed this player. He's too old. Why are we signing Chelsea rejects we heard? Let me tell you something. He was up there as he was in the top three of Chelsea's best players last season.
Yeah.
He will add so much to our football club. As what we saw is nothing for me. That is nothing. He can do it all. He can affect the game on the ball. He can affect the game off the ball. He even hit the post, nearly got himself a goal. Got himself, what is it, 3 assists? And that's just a start. I truly believe Willian is a player who is going to make Arsenal better. That's for sure.
Which, David, brings me to how often... it's not even a question that Pepe has to earn his way back into the team. Willian starts, he brings this experience and he brings this flair that we've really been missing. How do you see him? Were you part of the, oh no, we're signing another Chelsea player group, or did you see it from the beginning that, wow, he can really make a difference to the squad?
No, I loved him at Chelsea. I thought he's a kind of player. He comes inside, he makes things happen, he works hard, he's got lovely feet, he can spray the ball around, he scores a few goals. But most importantly, he goes past people with the ball. So he breaks the line and then he draws someone who's trying to block. We talk about people trying to stop people getting into the final third or the final, you know, between the lines. Now, he breaks the line. So when he breaks the line with the ball, someone else has to step out. As soon as they do that, things open up. It'll take the pressure off of Bellerin so much in front of him. You know, he'll have options inside and out. But he's Brazilian. He works hard. And like Kev said, one of the best three players in Chelsea. He's only had to move a little way across London. Fabulous for his family and everybody. It's a great move for him and he's embracing it. Let's hope that he brings what he brought to Chelsea to Arsenal, because he will, you know. And Pepe's going to have to work for it. Pepe's an in-and-out player. You know, he's a little bit hit and miss. If it comes off, it comes off. He'll run at 3 and 4 players, and if he goes through them, it looks great. But Willian's got a balance about him. He's a very calm sort of player. He looks in control, you know, and more natural. And I just think for that, it'll bring big things to the side.
I also felt like he looked like he'd played for us for years. He ruled the roost. It was like, oh, Willian. Yeah. I mean, it didn't feel like, obviously, we looked at Gabriel. And what I loved about Gabriel, I don't know if anyone noticed this for his header, he pushed Aubameyang out of the way to head it into the goal. I mean, what confidence is that? I love that they all want, they all want to score. They're all in the, I mean, in the box. We had like four players at one point that were steaming forward. It's so exciting. And we keep getting comment after comment saying people are very excited about the upcoming season.
Yeah. I just think, you know, a lot of the times people kept criticising Arsenal for not having players who had Premier League experience. And not only does this guy have Premier League experience, he's won everything at the highest level and he's won with his national team. Plus, he's a good person. He's a good guy, you know. He's very well respected. I had the pleasure of interviewing him at Copa America here in the United States. And, you know, sometimes players stop for you and they'll chat with you. And there are a lot of players that didn't. And funnily enough, the two players that stopped and had a great chat with were Coutinho, who we were attached to, and Willian. And I just loved his demeanor. I thought he was charming. He was engaging. He was super friendly. And even though Brazil had lost, he still understood, you know, what his job is. And I think that is another part, Casey, that is important for Arteta. It's not only about what you can bring on the pitch. It is this idea of this family. It was evident in his video and it was evident in Aubameyang's video. So you have to be a certain quality of human as well as a player to play under Mikel. And I love that he's building that. And having Gabriel and David Luiz, I think he'll... You know, Gabriel settled in very seamlessly. Obviously, we'll need to see what he does against some of the bigger clubs. So, with that said, who was your man of the match? Because one player I do want to bring up, guys, that I think was coming into this game under more pressure than anybody was Leno. Imagine having to be him and listen and hear all the stories about, oh, Emmy, don't leave, Emmy, don't leave, Emmy, don't leave. And to come in that first 5 minutes to have that and recover from that almost dreadful mistake, which would have just sent everybody into a meltdown. Amanda, do you agree that Leno had, to me, I just felt for him because I felt he was coming into a hugely pressurized situation after the heroics of Emmy for the last few weeks.
I mean, when is it ever that we've got two goalkeepers that we can't choose between and there's not much between them? When have we ever had that? I feel I'm gutted if Emmy goes, and it looks like he is. I'm so gutted, but I understand. Leno is a good goalkeeper. You can't deny that. I think he's professional, Sophie. Just think he gets on with it. And, you know, he's obviously mates with Martinez. And,
yeah,
he's the first choice goalkeeper. Obviously, Arteta's made that decision because Emmy has not put a foot wrong for 10 or 11 games. You know, and obviously he wasn't even travelling with the squad. He was apparently in Birmingham. So, oh, I can't wish anything but good luck to Martinez. I'm absolutely gutted he's going, but I will applaud him when he turns up at the Emirates, if I ever get to go to a game again in my next lifetime. But I feel gutted, but it's probably the right choice that Leno is number one.
David, I think it's brilliant business to get almost 20 million for a backup keeper who didn't think he'd ever start and be a regular starter for the Arsenal. And I actually thought to myself too that if he wanted to fight for that first place, he should have stayed. And I think the club have made a superb decision to get that kind of money for that kind of player. Do you agree?
Yeah, I've got to say, though, I think you're going a little bit soft, worrying about his emotional state. You know, all those people talking about Emi Martinez. He's been a goalkeeper since he was a kid.
No,
he's always had
someone chasing
his position.
No. I meant, I think, yes. I wasn't talking about, I think we made the right decision letting Emi go and empowering Leno to stay. And are you saying that you don't think it bothered him that everyone wanted Emi to be the starter?
No. I don't think it bothered him. He's a goalkeeper. I think as players, you're tough to the decisions that have been made in your career. It's a bit like an actor not getting a job, you know, but has to keep going back, knocking on the door. You know, when you get your opportunity, he respect the fact that he's got in the kudos now. I've got to get back in there and get it. But you know, that by the side, I think Martinez, though, he's played 100 games in his career, 102 career football matches, and he's 28 years old, you know, and he's gone for 20 million. Fantastic business for Arsenal. Yeah. Fantastic business. Most of his appearances have been in the lower leagues, obviously. Apart from, I think he went abroad for one of his little loan spells. But you know, 100 appearances, and you know, the guy is going to make a fortune out of the game. He ain't going to go short. He's, you know, he's another Tony Warner, isn't he, at Liverpool? You know, bonus sitting on the bench. But every goalkeeper has to take his opportunity to go and get that first team football, and no one would deny him that. Great business for Arsenal. Excellent for Macy. Comes in, doesn't he? And now, what happens if Leno gets injured again? Does Macy come in and have a great 15 games and Arsenal can get 30 million for him? Football's a business at the end of the day. It's a business of people wanting your position and you wanting someone else's position. And it's great for the club to have that. Mikel Arteta will want that in the club. He'll want the competitiveness. But for Emi Martinez, I think it was absolutely the right time for him to go on the crest of a little wave. He could have had 6 bad games and we'd have got 10 for him.
Yeah. Mm. No, I agree. I think it's a great business. And let's look at this then, guys. Where, I know we're all excited and everything, but, and I'll start with you, Casey, where are the areas on the pitch that still worry you? Where are the holes that we still need to fit? Obviously, offensively, we've got a lot of talent. Where do you think we need, where does that last bit of cash go in this window to really give us a chance to be competitive in the Premier League for an entire season?
Yeah, I've said it once and I'll say it again. That central midfield.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it has to be a lot more competitive. And that's no disrespect to Xhaka and Elneny, but there's going to be better teams who we play, who have got more legs than Fulham, who will look to expose us in that position. So you've got to be able to do everything. You've got not only have you got to be able to read the game, you've got to be able to be in position to intercept, but you've got to also be able to break the lines yourself. When you do win the ball, you've got to break the lines and hurt the opposition. I don't think we're quite in that mode just yet. I think a Partey and Aouar will be that type of player who can do that. We've been linked with these guys for a while. Partey, for me, if I had to choose one out of the two, it would be Partey. It would be Partey for that defensive midfielder, but who can do a box-to-box as well. It would be him.
Because Willian can be that creative flair that we need and his versatility, because most fans, I think, are more leaning the other way, going for Aouar than Partey. And I think maybe that's because the Partey deal just seems dead. Like, was there even... It just doesn't seem like it's real, Amanda. Like, that's even a possibility. And I'd love to see that announcement tomorrow and then I'll have egg on my face. But I just don't see us making that signing.
What we need 100% is a Vieira or a Gilberto. That's it. And I think then we've got a really good chance of really, really going up the league.
Doing something.
I can't think of the word, Kev. I'm so tired tonight. But yeah, just actually, you know, getting into the top four and going for stuff that, you know, and going away to the top four and the top six and actually getting something on a cold Tuesday night, or just find me a Vieira or a Gilberto and I will settle for the defence and the goalkeeper. We do not need anything up front, that is for sure, or on the wings. I mean, I want to just say something as well. When you sat there on Saturday, I forgot that Saka wasn't even in the team, that Martinelli's got to come back. It's very exciting. You forget about these players. I mean, Saka was in every single match virtually last season, wasn't he? I mean, it felt like that. But yet we won like that. I know it's Fulham. I understand that. I've had that thrown at me quite a bit. But as you said, we weren't very good away from home. So I just think, you know, you can only play what's in front of you. I was very impressed. And I'm really excited about, I forgot even Saliba wasn't even the team at the time. So we're starting to get a really, really good squad. Keep us fit. Keep us injury free. And it will be top four. I'm convinced.
David. David, I've given you the money. You know the budget. How are you closing this transfer window? What's most important to you? What is still missing?
I've got to agree with Kev. It's definitely that box-to-box midfielder, the person that's going to just have that little bit more, not necessarily energy, but proactive going forward. You know, someone like, yes, obviously, Vieira would be ideal. Someone big, strong, you know, someone who can actually block spaces just by his physicality, by his size, and then go past people and muscle them out. But ideally, even someone like a Frank Lampard, you know, he's a box-to-box who still get back in front of, you know, get back and help your defence out, but would go and break the lines. If we're looking the way Arsenal are set up, they're set up nicely around the flanks now, whether we play a 4 or a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-1. We're set up down the sides. Yes, I agree with Amanda, we can cope with the central defence situation, although I still think that, you know, there's some maybe athleticism and fitness and youth missing in there. You know, just that pure beastiness of someone young, strong. But certainly that centre midfield role, we can. It's a bit like the George Graham days. I keep going back to it, but it is really similar. It's a really good simile that Amanda made, because we had a really good defence. We was decent down the flanks. You know, we had Perry on one side and Anders, who could kick the ball in from the other side quite decently as well. Himself had a little bit of skill, as we know. But the middle bit was probably the most lacking part, but it worked because it was super efficient and did its job well. We're doing that well at the moment, but in order to get to that next level, I do think that is the key. And that's when Wenger came, he changed that central bit. Even when I was there, Vieira came to the club months before. He was being primed for that position because that was key to take Arsenal to the next level. And it did that. And I absolutely appreciated what it did for the side. You know, I was gutted. You know, it was one of us had to go, but it was crucial to move it to the next level.
The thing is, though, the difference in age between Partey and, I don't know how you say it, Ayor, or whatever you call him. Ayor's 22 and Partey's 27. So we're either going to get one in their prime or one coming in to that sort of way. If I had my choice, I think I'd go for Partey. I do. I think he's going to be big and strong in that midfield.
KC.
Yeah, I'd have one in its prime. In its prime, definitely. Just because.
Yeah, 27 is a great age.
You know, Xhaka's quite experienced. He'd be happy to sit in there and let someone do all the forward runs and cover their backside. He's happy to be in the side now. And I think he knows, you know, he knows his level and he knows he ain't going to go nowhere else. And I think the same, if he weren't fit, Elneny would be happy to do it by the side of him. But someone who's confident is, I think if you've got someone too young, you're banking on, you want them to sort of have confidence all the time. You can't give them confidence straight away. You need someone who's up running.
Well, you look at Pepe, Dave, because he didn't really start with confidence. I don't think Partey would come into our side without confidence. I mean, look at Willian. He's got massive confidence, you know. So I agree. I think 27 is a fantastic age to get someone. I really do.
It's also the quality of the player, right?
Quality, KC, yeah.
Yeah, he's just coming into his prime.
Mm. Yeah.
He's only going to get better over the next 5 years. So if you bring him in, you're going to sign him on a 5-year deal. This guy could do it all. He's played in a side like Atletico Madrid, where you know discipline is key, and he's affected that central midfield for Atletico Madrid. He knows how to defend, especially. He knows how to protect the two centre-halves. He knows how to win it and break the lines. He's one of them who can pick the ball up like Vieira and go. We haven't had a central midfielder like that for years, since probably Vieira, who could win a tackle and then motor straight down the middle of the pitch and beat people. He's that type of player. I think he will be a revelation at Arsenal, and we've got to bring him in.
Yeah.
I just don't know if we're going to pay the release clause to get him. I think that's the biggest stumbling block. I think Arteta wants to do that, but it's a big ask, but at the same time, it would be the missing piece. As much as we're investing in Oba, understanding that he's really lean and fit and can go for another 3 years, I think Partey physically is the same. You know, 27 to 30, 31 age, I think he's perfect. And, you know, what I wanted to ask you guys is, what does this mean overall for the, someone had written about, you know, Emile Smith Rowe, we've got Willock. I mentioned on the show last week to Amanda and Kevin, I don't want Saka to get lost in this shuffle, David, you know, because he's such a talent. Martinelli, as we've seen, is super talented. Amanda mentioned him too. You've got Reece Nelson. I think Niles is going to have a huge role to play this season. I love that Arteta put his foot down in wanting to keep him. Having been that young player at Arsenal, David, what do you think about these fellas, and do they really have what it takes to even be part of the squad, let alone starting and being part of this new path that Arteta's on?
What, you mean the young players at the club now?
Yeah, like Willock, and I'm not impressed. I've just not ever been sold on Willock. I don't know why. I think Reece Nelson has a lot of gusto about him. I think he plays more fearless. Willock, I've just never seen it. Yeah, talk me through what you think of players like that.
Well, I think they're obviously the manager seems like quite consistent in the way he is in his. The way he's dealing with the players in what he's trying to get them to do. You know, he's not trying loads of different things. So I'd imagine his consistency carries on through to selection process as well. And I think he has shown that when young players, if you can get an 8 every game, I reckon you'll be in the side. But he ain't going to give you any preference because you're a young player or anything like that, give you a break. I think he wants players that can do the business, do what he wants to do. And if these players cannot step up to the mark, yes, I think they may find themselves on the outskirts of the squad. But in the same vein, I think if you come in and you work hard and you play well, I think it'll treat you the same as the players for big money, because once they're bringing in big money to and that the money doesn't matter, you're here to serve Arsenal, to serve the club, and that's what you do. It's not about you and your progression in your career as much as doing the right things. Play people that are doing that and performing to the level that he needs. But I do feel that some of those players, and I agree with you, Soph, that probably unless Joe Willock does something super special in the next 6 months, like, you know, goes and starts scoring and being that driving player from midfield, if he does get an opportunity, I think there will be some casualties. But he'll go on and he'll make money for the club. Torreira will go and make 20 million back for us, although it's not as much as we pay for him. You know, with the money from Martinez and a couple of other people, the directors and the management might be happy to spend that money on the players we need, you know, party the player was just talking about. So there's a balance to be made, and it'll be down to the players to play well and to work hard.
So, Sophie, can I just add to that?
Absolutely, yes.
In what Mikel Arteta done in order to capture Gabriel and Willian and these guys, he told them of the plan. And the plan was he wants the Champions League in 3 years. 3 to 4 years, he said, he wants the Champions League. Okay? So, for these young players, the level now is being raised. Will they stay at Arsenal and not get the minutes? Because it's a long season. We're playing in the Europa. So they might get some game. They're going to get some game time. But there's nothing that beats playing week in, week out. So some of these youngsters might have to go out on loan to get regular football. That's what might have to happen to them.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make them better players when they come back. Not only because they're playing week in, week out, but it makes you appreciate the football club even more so. So that's my take on it. They've got big talent, but some of these players will have to go on loan to play regular football because that's key for their development.
It's also a very long season, guys, and we're playing in 4 competitions. So we're going to need, you know, the youngsters will play in the League Cup. I think Arteta's going to be really serious about trying to get to the Europa League final. I think he sees that, you know, 2 avenues back to the Champions League for sure. And, you know, as long as Kieran Tierney stays fit and you know, the new love of my life, I'll be happy. Right. Let's move on, because I guess we're starting off with two games in London, Amanda, this season. Did Fulham last week, and what a shame. It's such a great day out, isn't it? We talked about that.
Oh, I love that game, yeah.
But it's still a great day out anyway for us last weekend. And this weekend we face a very sorry Hammers team. Now, usually I would be the one saying to you guys, beware the wounded animal. But, boy, this animal's been wounded for a few seasons. They look absolutely in disarray. I think David Moyes, talk about people saying Mourinho's past his sell-by date. David Moyes just looks devoid of ideas, and that team is overblown and overrated.
What one team would you not want to face this weekend? Ham. No, West Ham would be us, wouldn't it? They never do that well against us anyway, and we are on fire, and they are very, very, very poor. Even I'm going for a win this time, even though I went for a draw on Saturday.
Don't do your prediction. No, I won't. Just I won't. Yet, okay.
I feel very, very sorry for West Ham fans. Another time left Upton Park, sold a lie. You know, a lot of us have been there. And I do feel really, really sorry for them. I've got a lot of West Ham friends, and they're just really desolate. They just feel like they're going down. Most of them feel they are going down this season. Yeah, we play them Saturday night at the Emirates, 8 o'clock. Pretty empty stadium, I should say. But
I got a question for Casey and David before we do our predictions. And David, the one player, sometimes I think players can see things differently to fans. It's a little bit like actors. You know, having worked in the entertainment industry for so long, I'd be looking after actors and whatever. We'd have a conversation. I'd be like, oh, I just don't see. They're just not a really good actor. But then they'd tell me why they're a brilliant actor. I just don't see what people see in Declan Rice. And he'll probably have a masterclass against us, me saying this. I don't want to bock it. But do you see him? Do you see his value? Do you see talent in him? Is he just playing in a bad team?
Sorry, Soph, I missed out on the name. That's great. And I heard
Declan
all of that,
Rice.
And Declan Rice. I should have made you guess it.
Yes, you should have made me get. Well, I probably would have guessed him actually anyway, because I think you are right. But I think there was a lot on the young lad's shoulders, you know, put on him. And I don't think he's been put in a great situation, has he, with a side with no structure. When you're a young pup like him, you need a bit of guidance, and you need the sort of side that Arsenal are, you know, like now, discipline, structure, positions, something where you can't really go too far off on a tangent, because the team will hold you within that role. I think he plays like he don't know where he needs to be now. He's just everywhere. He's playing like a five-a-side sort of game. It's no good for anyone's sort of progression as a young player. But I just think West Ham at the moment, looking at the way they played, I was looking at the stats, it's like awful. I mean, like, I think it was one corner in the game, something like that. That means they've got no pressure on the other team. You know, they don't even lump the ball in behind as if to try and play just to get into the opposition's final third. I can see this being an absolute rout. And I think West Ham's only saving could be the couple of teams that came up. I think Fulham really will struggle this year, because unless they play Mitrovic every game, I think they're going to struggle. Don't know why they didn't play him at the start of that game. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he didn't start. I can't believe Scott Parker didn't start him. And yeah, it's going to be difficult for them, but it's a great two confidence boosting games for Arsenal at the start of the season. If they can obviously turn West Ham over, it's great for Arteta. It's just what he wanted after those last two games he's played, he's won a trophy.
Super Kev, it looks easy on paper, and when you look at form, it looks like a rout. Is there something we should be aware of with West Ham?
Look, I don't like playing games on paper, because you know what? Sometimes they never materialise the way you want it. It looks as though we're on the up and they're on the descendancy. You know, they're going down, but the game is played on the pitch. And you know what? West Ham coming to Arsenal, it's still a London derby. There's still a lot of pride at stake. Trust me. So Arsenal still have to go out there and earn the right to play. That's the key to it. If Arsenal go out there and have the right attitude and earn the right to play, Arsenal could win this convincingly. But if they don't, if they think, oh, you know, we'd just go out like we did against Fulham and blow teams away, it never works out that way. And we could get a scare. Don't forget, a couple of seasons ago, West Ham came and they beat us 1-0, didn't they? Yeah. So we got to be very vigilant. We cannot be complacent. If we're not complacent, we'll be okay. So I think that confidence we've got is all about how we start the game. And we got to go for their jugular. We go ahead, we win the game.
An early goal, Kevin, it's all over. I think their heads will drop. And I think we will actually win by quite a bit. I'm actually feeling very positive.
Okay, so Moyes is on the hot seat. Before we get predictions, because you know David's got his dinner almost ready, right? We can let you go get your prediction. But who do you think who's going to be the first manager sacked this season?
Mourinho.
I think he'll last till November, Mourinho.
No, the thing is, they can't afford to sack him. I don't think so.
It could be Moyes.
Yeah, it won't be Mourinho. I was being funny, but they can't afford to sack him. It's quite funny.
Well, I think Moyes was hanging on a bit in the last season, weren't he? Anyway, before the restart, so his contribution was under the microscope then, I think. And like you said, Amanda, it's all about money with Spurs, isn't it? They'll battle through for a little bit longer, but even them, they can't take performances like they had the other night. For 6 months, surely that board will say, look, 20 million or not, whatever it is, 30 million, just get rid of him. Because for me, it looked like he didn't have a clue on the bench. Yeah. He was making gestures. Yeah. I thought he was like a croupier with no cards. He was doing all this with his hands. And he didn't know. And as a player, that you're just thinking, what is he on about? I'd rather him shout over to me, get 40 yards back up the fucking pitch in position than do all this, because I'm just, you know, and he ain't got nothing. Yeah, he ain't got nothing.
I don't even have to do it.
Listen, he's done, man. Mourinho's done. And people were saying that they wanted him at our place.
Oh my God, I could not believe that.
No. And I understand why they done it. They said it because of the past. But that Mourinho is no longer.
Yeah.
His number two, who he had, who's left him now, was the glue. And now Mourinho's on his own now.
Kev, I reckon he's earned about 100 million out of football. Do you know that? Just being sacked.
He's earned more.
I mean, honestly, I've still watching that program, All or Nothing, obviously nothing. And I got a bit bored of it. But when Danny Rose went into him and told him that, you know, you need to play me, I quite enjoyed that conversation. Mourinho, to me, was gone a long time ago. But let him stay. Let him stay. He's quite
keep
good.
Him David, there. David, 5 years. Want... Keep him there.
Yeah, keep him there. We need him there as long as possible. I think there's going to be a player revolution. It's coming. It always does. I mean, they all look miserable. And that's
will Harry Kane stay?
No.
That's it. I think Harry Kane must be thinking, get me out of here.
I don't know. I reckon he might stay just to be a big fish for a little bit longer. Because, no, but in saying that, the money, the temptation, and frankly, he is a good player as well. He probably would want to get out of there. Maybe you never know. We could add him to our strike force. Do you reckon he'll come over? Come across the way, across the road.
Well, he is a gooner, isn't he?
He is. And you know he wears his Arsenal pajamas. Exactly. You know he wears his Arsenal pajamas at night. Come on. Okay, so enough about that. Let's get on to the predictions then for West Ham United. Let's start with you, David.
Ooh, first up. Well, I reckon it'll be. Here we go.
You're counting on your fingers. I can't. Four, I can't see what's going on over
five.
There.
Five. I reckon it's going to be a big five.
Five.
Five. It'll
be a big five. Yeah, I think it's going to be a rout, and West Ham might nick one. Arsenal might give something away, but they're going to struggle from. I'd be more interested to see how many attempts at goal we have. I think it's going to be like 30 to something like two. And that's how one-sided the game will be. But yeah, wow. I can't see us losing this one.
Amanda, are you as confident?
Oh, yeah. I'm going 5-1. And ooh. I think, funny enough, I've got a feeling they'll score first. And
well,
I think
well. What a coincidence.
That's weird. Anyway, yeah, 5-1. How weird, we've not even discussed this. Not one moment, and he'll tell you that. Yeah. I just sat here, and no, we haven't, and I'm with David. We'll give one away. Maybe one all. Maybe it'll go one all, but I think they'll score first. We'll see.
Casey, do you fancy another clean sheet, or do you see West Ham nicking one, or what's your take on the London derby this weekend?
I like clean sheets. I do. I love clean sheets, and I think this Arsenal side under Arteta now are going to hopefully take a bit of pride in those clean sheets. Gabriel at the back looking strong. I'm going to go 3-0 again. I'm going to go 3-0.
Is that all?
Excuse me. The woman who said we won't win at Fulham. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
She didn't say that.
She did.
I said 2-0.
Yeah, that's what I said. You said that we wouldn't win. That 2-all isn't a win, is it?
I was warming myself up for the predictions for the next few weeks.
Listen, SD, get the telex ready. Remember, the window's still open. Let's get her out.
We have 3 more weeks.
You still want
to steal me. David, we're trying to send her out on loan. And we've had a bid from, I think it was Guns and Yellow Ribbons, the Gooners podcast, said that she's too much, she owes ill money. They didn't want to take it on. So anyone else out there, there's still time. What's the date? October 5th?
Yeah.
Is it October 5th? Right. I've got my telex machine ready.
I'll let me people know that you're up for offer.
I'm not up for anything, thank you. I'm staying here.
Hey, have you seen what she's got on her top, by the way? Have you seen what she's got on her top? She's up for, she loves football and she's up for love. So there you go.
Well, there you go. That's it. That's it, isn't it? You know, that's advertising it herself. It just, is it say on your back? Has it got your Twitter, your phone number and everything else?
Yeah, hold on.
For love. Anyone who needs love.
Well, listen, we're going into extra time and we've got to let David go real quick.
Yes.
And then we can wrap up a few things here.
What's your prediction? You haven't told us.
My prediction. I'm going to go with 4-1.
All right, so we've got a 4-0, a 4-1, and 2 5-1s.
And the one will probably be an own goal.
3-0.
Oh, God, you've only gone 3-0, whatever.
Yeah, 3-0. Get it right for once.
She's not listening to you, Kev. Look,
I know, she never listens. You see, that's the problem.
Same old story.
Oh, whatever.
This is why we're not getting any takers on the loan deal. I mean, true.
Seriously, who would want a scrappy Guna girl?
SD is deliberate. She's meaning to do it, so nobody takes her.
We have a lead. We have a lead, Casey. Mike take her. No, he's going to wait till next year until she's a free agent.
Then I can go wherever I want, thank you.
Right, David, what's for dinner? What has Mrs. H got ready for you?
I think we've got salmon tonight. A little bit of salmon with some green beans, bit of rice and a bit of cauliflower cheese, I think. Might even be sneaking onto the plate.
Cheeky.
Lovely.
What would you like to leave the Goon
and a little one of them. That's just
a little one of those.
Let's celebrate Aubameyang. Let's do a clean together.
Yeah. There's my water.
My water. There you go.
Cheers, Aubameyang. You've made our day.
Love it. David,
thanks for joining us. And what would you like to leave the Guna Nation with? What would you like them to know? How are you going to sign off today?
I'm going to only one way. I'm signing out like that. That's it. I'm done.
Nice one, Ills. Ills, good to see you, man. Take care, bro.
Bye,
nice
David.
One. Get you on there. Cheers,
mate.
Soon. Take care, David. Thanks for coming.
Bye, David. Enjoy your cauliflower cheese and salmon.
Yum, yum, yum.
Okay, so you guys can send some questions. There were some questions, but I'll have Casey and David answer them for you on Twitter, okay, guys? Because you sent in some good ones on loans and young players and stuff like that. So I'll make sure that we get to those. Right, Casey and Amanda. Amanda, what's on your laundry list, babe? What have you got?
Well, my laundry list is this. I don't ever do this. I don't give shout-outs, but I have to give a shout-out to my lovely friend's son, Zach, who is an absolute mad gooner at the age of 13, plays football. Half his family are Chelsea. His mother's a mad gooner and so is his grandmother. But not only that, he was the junior gunner fan of the week. And I only saw it on our Facebook because obviously he's not on Twitter or anything. And he got 10,000 likes and he's honestly obsessed. All I ever see on his mother's Facebook is him in the new top or anything. So for you, Zach, at 13 years of age, and his hero is Wrighty, which is fascinating, isn't it, for a 13-year-old?
Because I love that.
That's our era. But that is fantastic. And he loves his football. And they're a great family. Well, the Arsenal side are. And I just want to give a little shout-out to Zach. Say congratulations for being fan of the week of a junior gunner.
I love that, Amanda. Isn't very that nice. Yes.
Nothing to do with anything as in like Twitter or anything. It's a friend's son. And I was so chuffed and I retweeted it on Twitter for him as well. Not that he's on there, but it's so sweet. So well done, nice Zach.
One. Well done, yeah. PG. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well done,
brilliant.
Well done.
Thank you.
And, hello to our friend Danny as well. Don't worry,
hey,
Dan. You can listen to it on replay, babe. I'll make sure that we get that. That'll be available immediately after the live broadcast. We're just going to wrap up with a few things. Stick with us because, you know, the hybrid squad, when we say extra time, it's kind of VAR extra time. It's like 9-10 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Listen, listen, I'm Jewish. I don't stop talking anyway. So we always go further. You're Greek and he's from South London. So he don't stop talking either. So
I know.
We never do an hour.
I have something to read out because it's really important. It's a very good friend of the show and a podcast we love. It's Mike over at the Gooners podcast who's doing this amazing charity event. It's Gooners versus Cancer. It's a charity that is super close to his heart. We'll have him on for a little bit in the coming week so he can talk about it as well. So I'm just going to read out, it's much better written by Mike than me just ad-libbing here. So he says, hey all, our branch supporter is Gooners versus Cancer, a great fundraising campaign by American Gooners helping to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society to fight blood cancers. We now have an incentive to help as a group. You can win amazing Arsenal prizes, legendary signed jerseys, first team signed jerseys, first team, everything, really. He's got it all. There's a raffle. If you listen to the pod, you can win Arsenal jerseys signed by legends like Lee Dixon, Alan Smith, and many others. All you have to do is make a tax-deductible donation to LLS using goonersversuscancer.com. Enter the raffle to win. You can also enter Highbury Squad in the comments so we get a credit for your donation, or everyone gets a credit for the donation. As long as you donate, that's the most important thing. If you want to email him for more information, you can go to admin@goonersversuscancer.com to request for your donation to be linked to the podcast. What Mike does for cancer charities, you guys, is incredible.
I know.
Dude is a non-stop machine and he's an epic human being, and so please go and support it, and we'll keep talking about it for you, Mike, as long as the event goes on as well. So well done for all of your efforts and for everyone who's donated so far. And you know, a lot of the times we talk, this is the beautiful thing about football, isn't it, guys? You got Smudger, you got Lee Dixon, Casey did this wonderful thing for us for a charity just a few months ago. I mean, you know, football's a community and it really is a family. And when it comes together like this, it's very powerful. So good luck to them and please go check that out as well. Right. Yeah. KC, do you have anything on the laundry list?
Just on my laundry list is to say, listen, Arsenal fans, Aubameyang has signed now and you know what we need. We all know what we need. For years, we've needed that centre-half. Now we've got two in. Great. Now we need the extra midfielders. I'm praying we get them, because I'm telling you, this window is the most important window in the next 5 years. This one here. If we get the right guys in now, we have the platform to push on quicker than we could have ever done. So I believe the fact that Emi Martinez has been sold, Torreira, I believe, has been agreed today. So that's going to bring the money in, and hopefully Edu and Mikel Arteta will work that money and get Partey and Uar in, and then we could push on and challenge, because you know what? I love it when people hate Arsenal, because that means we're doing stuff.
They really do. They really do. Everyone knows about Adrian Durham, and you know, Adrian's been, you know, nice to me and stuff, but he just couldn't help himself today. He still tried to find a way to spin us re-signing over to a negative.
I mean, it was unbelievable. How? Why does anyone listen to him anymore? I've stopped about 10 years ago. Seriously. Yeah, I've interviewed him on a different pod, and he ripped us to pieces about Wenger. Oh, God knows how many years ago this was. And I just don't, we said the same thing. Make your phone line free, or are you just doing it to earn the money for the station? Because all you do is wind up Arsenal fans and they ring you.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so true.
Game.
I don't even
That's
listen.
That is the
someone
game.
Rang him.
He did not do that. I love it.
Someone rang him and said, even if we signed 11 Ronaldos, you'd still find the problem with it.
With Arsenal. Look, at the end of the day.
Since 89, Amanda, and then the Invincibles. I mean, you know, it's like when you're an overachieving club and you're a cool club, you know, fans are jealous, and they've been loving ripping us apart. And our comeback is on.
But he's doing his job properly. Look, we're discussing him. That's his job. At the end of the day, I don't personally think he doesn't like us. I think a lot of his family support Arsenal. But I just feel I'm not interested. To be honest, I much prefer social media. And I would prefer to say this as well. I'm with you, Kev. I'm really excited. I've not been excited for so, so long. And it's just, I feel like now, I'm not getting cocky or anything like that. I just feel like, we could beat Liverpool. We could beat Chelsea. We could beat City, instead of thinking, oh, my God, we're going to get hit by five, you know, and stuff like that. And also, I would just like to say one thing very quickly. Sorry. Thank you for everyone that messaged me. I did really had a bad 4 or 5 days, but I'm a lot better now. So thank you so much. And I don't want to go on too much onto that, but thank you. But I'm very
brave,
excited.
Amanda. Very brave to share that message, because people share and sometimes it doesn't go so well. And to share it is very brave.
It went completely. I had DMs coming out of my, you know, whatever. I
out
had
your
private
heart.
Mess yeah. out of my heart. And it was lovely. But people have to understand that what they see with me is what they get. I'm not an act or anything. But there's also another little side to me with the other side of stuff, and it is okay not to be okay sometimes. It just is. And I just felt I needed to share that. I've been on Twitter a very long time. I've got a vast amount of followers, and what was lovely were private messages from people I've never really spoken to, or you know, that I'm very much in communication with daily, saying that helped. And I was like really taken aback by that, because then I felt a little bit more responsibility, and I thought, I'm just sharing how I felt. I didn't have a good 4 or 5 days. But again, as I said, I really appreciated every like, every comment. I go walking for my mental health. I'm trying to get out there tomorrow morning. It's been tough. But, you know, as a fan base, I don't care what anyone says. I find Gooners around this global world of ours fantastic. Yes, there's the odd twats, of course there are, but there are at every club in every level of the human race. But generally, I find humans to be full of humanity. And thank you again for that. But also, big love to you too, because you support me in every single thing that I do. And we're a little family. We're the Gooner family.
We're the squad. We're the squad.
We're the squad.
All right, so I just like to close.
Hey, hold on. Can you do that again, please, Amanda?
I don't even know what you're
doing. Do it again. Boom. Go on. Boo. Yes.
Boom, 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 boom.
I love that. Boo.
I mean, listen, we could go on all night, us three.
We can't. We have to
go. Let me just say real quick. I want to make sure you two don't get too excited, because there's going to be a couple hiccups along the way.
Oh, well, that's Arsenal. It would always be hiccups. Honestly, they draw us in.
You guys, listen, I think the Premier League's going to be a close race this year. Liverpool ain't running away with it by 25 points.
I agree.
I don't think that's happening, right? I think, you know, Are we going to challenge? Are you guys saying we're going to challenge for the title? Is that what you're saying?
Get those two players in.
Yeah,
get those two players in, and we have a chance. I'm telling
you. We'll be in the top four. I think we all predicted that. I've got it here, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we've all predicted we're going to be in the top four.
Yeah, rub the Buddha belly. Rub the Buddha belly.
Oh, I wonder what you were going on about. Rub the Buddha belly.
Yes, rub the Buddha belly.
All right. Okay, so fantastic. Thanks to David for joining us. If you haven't checked out our FA Cup special, we've started our Evergreen series. We're really proud of that. We're going to be bringing that to you this season. Some fantastic stories, players, coaches, influencers, fans, from all walks of life related to football and sports. So that's on our YouTube channel right now, Highbury Squad's Evergreen Series. We also are going to kick off the Super Kev Says and Ask Mand next week. And I would also like to announce that something that we talked about last season and didn't quite make it happen because I was working on a number of different projects, but we're going to start the United States of Arsenal, which is going to be a fun show that might probably go out here late at night in the US, and you'll be able to watch on our YouTube channel too. And some fun Arsenal America related people that hopefully will be joining me on that. And then if Amanda and Casey can't sleep at night, they'll also be joining me on that too. So we've got a nice little variety, as we Greeks like to call it. It's a meze, eh?
Oh, a meze. Right? Oh, I like that.
Yes. our goal is, look, Casey's our man when it comes to like tactics and all that type of stuff. Amanda and I are passionate. We love talking about all sorts of things from all walks of life when it comes to football. And we're going to have a lot of women on our show this year too. We've got a whole list of them who are going to be coming up with us as well in the coming weeks. So please stay tuned and keep listening and share, like. And as always, Amanda, there's only one way to end the show.
Always Arsenal.
Could I have a Big Mac and fries and six nuggets?